Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic. Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. This is going to be the last episode for a couple of weeks. I am taking a quick break from content creation. You might think it's because I have twins and they're up to eat every 2 hours and I'm exhausted, or you might think it's because I run several different programs and maybe I just need a minute to focus on my clients, and all of that is super true. But the real reason I'm taking a break is because I am really lost right now. I've made a couple of decisions lately that a lot of people were really mad at me about. First of all, I started a discussion on TikTok that I wasn't really qualified to lead, the discussion about whether autism is a disorder or a disability. And not only did I start that discussion, but I continued that discussion in a pretty, frankly, disrespectful way. And I'm not proud. I had my point of view, I dug my heels in, and then some people I really respected called me out, and it didn't feel good. So I worked really hard to apologize, and I thought I had integrated their comments into my psyche and had moved forward through that. And then I offered a course to teach other people how to do what I do, how to be a neurodivergent life coach. And I got a lot of hate for that too. And some very valid criticisms of that. For example, what the heck is a neurodivergent life coach? You know, like, this whole thing has kind of called into question my title, my label, you know, because there are so many forms of neurodivergence. I don't work with them all. You know, I don't work with people who primarily deal with epilepsy or primarily deal with dissociative identity disorder, although I have worked with people who experienced that in the past. But in addition to autism, ADHD, depression, OCD tendencies, bipolar, those are more of the things that I tend to work with. And my label of neurodivergent life coach doesn't quite capture what I truly do, because neurodivergent is such a wide umbrella term. And another big criticism that I thought was perfectly valid was I called it a certification course because it was, you were going to be certified in the curriculum, not according to any, you know, governing body, because, you know, life coaching is an unregulated industry. But you would be certified according to the curriculum. And I thought that was clear, but a lot of people pointed out that that was actually pretty misleading. The word certification implies that there is a governing body, which coaching does have, you know, not regulatory bodies, but we do have, you know, giants in the industry that sort of offer certifications. And so by using the word certification, I implied that I was associated with, like, the International Coaching Federation, for example, which I am not. So there were some really valid criticisms of that course. And again, I apologized. I took it all down. I refunded the people who bought the course. And I'm just left feeling a little bit adrift. I think it's such a fine line when you're a creator, especially when you create on a topic that is as sensitive and personal and powerful and important as neurodivergence. I think there's a really fine line between standing your ground, standing up for what you believe in, standing up for people, and also listening to others. And lately, I've been really struggling with that line. I've been way too aggressive in some situations, and I think I've been way too timid in others. This is something I struggle with in my whole life, to be honest. I never know when to go hard and when to back off, and I always seem to do the wrong one. And, it's just been really tricky and difficult, and especially because, you know, TikTok especially has always been my place to sort of externally process everything. I have processed trauma on that app. I have processed my neurodivergent diagnosis on that app. I have processed, you know, my ever growing and evolving opinions about various neurodivergent stances on that app. I have always just processed my feelings out loud there. And it's always been a pretty good space to do that. I've always gotten pretty constructive feedback. But lately, I don't know if my opinions have just been really shitty recently, which is possible. And I'm really trying to consider that as a possibility instead of, you know, getting defensive. So I don't know if my opinions have just been kind of shitty, if I'm so deep into my experience of neurodivergence that I'm being blinded to others' experiences of being neurodivergent. Or I don't know if like people are just being kind of cruel right now. Or maybe it's both. I'm honestly not sure. And instead of trying to, I don't know, constantly course correct and all this stuff, I think I need time away. I think I need to do some personal processing. I need to figure out what my role is in the neurodivergent community. You know, I'm white, I'm low support needs, and there is a tenet of disability justice that says leadership should be formed by those most affected. And that means people whose lives exist at the intersection of different kinds of oppression. And for me, because I'm white, because I'm solidly middle class, because I have relatively low support needs, that's not me. And the last thing I want is to be usurping a leadership position that it's not about deserving. It's not that I don't deserve it or whatever. It's not about that. It's that my leadership is probably less helpful than somebody else's leadership in this particular case. And I guess I'm just learning what that means for me, because I do think that I have a lot of helpful things to share, and I want to share them. And I do think I can be helpful, especially to other low support needs folks. But maybe that's really the difference. Maybe instead of speaking for like neurodivergent people as a whole, I need to be speaking to relatively low support needs, autistic and ADHD people. Like maybe I just need to be more specific about who I am and who I represent. But to be honest, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer. Like I said, I'm feeling very lost, and I'm not looking to anyone to tell me what direction to go, although comments and, you know, thoughts are always welcome. Feel free to DM me on Instagram at neurodivergent_magic. I'm always open to hearing you guys' thoughts, but I'm mostly just sharing this because, well, for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm going to take a couple of weeks off so that I have more time and energy to do some of this personal reflection as opposed to just churning out content like I always do. But also because I don't want to keep making content if it's doing harm. And I don't want to keep making content that feels disingenuous to me. You know, like right now I'm struggling. Like mental health wise, for sure. Getting hate comments is always hard. And to be clear, not all of the comments were hate comments. A lot of the comments were valid criticisms, and those are different. So just to be crystal clear, I'm not saying anyone who disagrees with me is a hater. I think that's reductionist at best. But it takes a toll on your mental health to cope with criticism, even when that criticism is valid. I think sometimes in the world of social justice, there is this tendency to expect it to be easy. Like if you really cared, if this was really important to you, you wouldn't struggle with it. You know, if you truly believed what you're saying you believe, it would be easy to believe it. And I just don't think that's the case. I think that's actually white supremacy talking, because one of the tenets of white supremacy is perfectionism. It's one of the tools of white supremacy, and it's how we stay stuck and are unable to progress and move forward and become better. And I'm struggling with that, you know, like I was raised in white supremacy. We all were technically, but I benefited from white. I still do benefit from white supremacy in a lot of ways, you know, because I'm white. And I think there's a lot of ways in which the tools of white supremacy fit nicely in my hands. They feel natural. And I'm learning that just because something feels natural doesn't mean it's right. Sort of like when you're, this is a silly example, but if you've ever played golf, which I know is such a white person example, but stick with me. If you've ever played golf, the golf swing that feels most natural for most people is a golf swing that actually feels more like a baseball swing. You know, because more of us play baseball than we do play golf a lot of times. And a golf swing generally just feels very unnatural. But the baseball swing doesn't work for golf. You know, it just, it doesn't work. It's not a good swing for golf. The point, what I'm trying to say, is just because something feels natural doesn't mean it's what I want to be doing. Doesn't mean it's the most useful thing for me or the people around me. So I'm learning to let go of this need for perfectionism, and it's hard. It's hard. I don't want to do harm. I don't want to do harm. I just want to help people and help myself and my family at the same time. And I want to believe that that's possible. But I need to rethink how I go about doing that. I think for me, a lot of this is also tangled up in some trauma shit as well, because I have some pretty serious people-pleasing tendencies. And when I say people-pleasing, I feel like people-pleasing is a phrase that's been so watered down to mean, like, just doing whatever to make people feel better. And, like, not that that can't be problematic or hard, but for me, my people-pleasing tendencies are like, no, I will be a different person for you. I will reshape my identity to make other people feel comfortable. And I've done that my whole life, you know? I've constantly been called too sensitive, too dramatic, like, what's wrong with you? And I've spent my whole life trying not to be those things. I've spent my whole life outsourcing my reality to other people and expecting other people to tell me how to live, how to be, how to act, how to think, how to feel. And I thought I was getting a lot better about this. You know, I thought I was improving because I was no longer being shaped by the same people I used to be shaped by. So I thought I wasn't being shaped by anyone. I thought I was shaping myself now. But I think I went and outsourced my reality to TikTok and to my followers and to people I look up to, you know? It's not that I stopped being shaped by others, which, by the way, I don't think is the goal. I think interdependence is the goal, and so we should be shaped by people who we look up to. But they should be an influence, not, like, the master, you know? And for me, I make other people my masters, or that's the wrong word. I make other people my authorities over who I am. And that's super unfair to them, by the way, because they're only in charge of being themselves. They shouldn't have to be in charge of, you know, creating someone else's identity too. But it's also pretty unfair to me. And I think a lot of this, the reason the valid criticisms are hitting me so hard, because you would expect, like, if it's a valid criticism, like, just take it, accept it, change what you're doing, and move on. But here's the thing. Someone can have a valid criticism of you, and you can still be right, in a way, I think. Because the thing is, no neurodivergent group, no, like, autistic people, or low support needs people, or high support needs people, or ADHDers, like, we're not a monolith. There are disagreements within those communities, and someone could have a very valid criticism of one thing, but someone else could have a very valid support of that same thing, you know? And so I just think I have outsourced my reality to different people, and this whole thing is making me realize I have got to find my own center. I need to be the one in charge of what's real and what's not real to me. And that doesn't mean that I don't listen to other people or accept criticism. It just means that when I am criticized, it doesn't knock down my core. Like, I feel like my identity is a house of cards, and the slightest breeze can knock me over. And that sucks, you guys. It feels really shitty. I don't like having an identity that is that fragile and that dependent on others and the ideal circumstances in order for me to feel whole. And it turns out processing this kind of stuff in front of other people doesn't work because I'm so influenced by other people. So I recognize the irony of saying that in a podcast that I'm putting out for other people. But I guess I just wanted to explain where I'm going and why. I will be back. This is not the end of the podcast, I promise. So, you know, stay subscribed, but don't expect too many notifications for the next couple of weeks, probably. My hope is to be back by the beginning of March. I have some things planned that I'd like to do in March, so I would like to be back by then, but I really am going to try to take my time and sort some of this shit out. So, yeah, thank you all for listening, and I'll talk to you when I talk to you. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.